Hello, this is Desmond Lynch. I have another interview as part of my How I Made the Witch in the Orchard commentary series. In this episode, I talked to Kevin McHugh, the artist I had commissioned for the podcast. I recorded this interview a number of months ago. The interview was conducted via Zoom, so there is some sound limitations, but I have done my best to sort them out. There is some background noise in parts, but for the majority of the interview, the audio is pretty decent. With that in mind, let's begin. Hello everyone, my name is Desmond Lynch. I'm 23 years old and I want to be a filmmaker. With me today is a very lovely Kevin McHugh, a freelance artist from County Fermanagh. Is that correct, Kevin?
Sorry, I lost you there.
If you guys don't know, we're recording this interview on Zoom. I'm here in my home in Belfast and Kevin's here in Fermanagh. So apologies if we skip out, but I'll hopefully try to edit around it.
Yeah, it would be a bit weird if we were in the same room and I lost you. There's a massive room.
Yeah, it was like slip out of time and space. But I'm with Kevin today because he's the very lovely artist who done the artwork for The Witch in the Orchard. The artwork, of course, being a lovely picture of Henrico Adair entering the orchard for the first time. And then lovely landscape he did as well of Henrico entering the wee village of Harrowsborough on the grey mare as well. I'm not going to lie, Kevin, I look at the art sometimes and I just forget I commissioned it because it just looks like something I'd see, go to a shop and see that on a book cover or something like that. And you're just well, that's me. I commissioned that. I made that as my character and
Yeah, well, thanks, Des. That's really nice you'd say. It's that's kind of the ultimate goal in the end up that you commission or somebody commissions an illustration. Illustrator creates that illustration, but it's not just mine and it's not just yours. It's for the job of the illustration is to draw other people in who have never heard of the project before, whether it's a book or a TV show or a theatre company or whatever. The idea of the illustration is to grab the passerby and make them stop and get curious, So yes, it's our illustration in 9 years, but the its goal is to be everybody's. And then, so that's nice of you to say that you feel like you could walk into a bookshop and see it on the cover of something, because that's the whole idea. So that's good. That's nice compliment. Thank you.
That's good. I have a few questions here for you, Kevin. This one's a bit of a hard one. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, that is a tough one. I am Kevin McHugh. I am an illustrator / mural artist. I suppose that's the two halves of my job, but basically it's all the one job. It's all creating something out of nothing. It's basically coming up with an idea, either on my own or with a client, and making a visual representation of that idea. I think that's the best way of putting it. Whether that's on a wall or on canvas or in pixels, it's all the same job. Doesn't matter if you're doing something 3 stories high or a little thumbnail for Facebook, it's all the same job. So we'll stick with Illustrator then. Probably sums it up. I specify probably or specialize in sort of dark, sort of the darker end of things, the fantasy, horror, Halloween tinged things. That's the kind of jobs that I love to get, and it's probably what I'm best at.
I'd agree with that, because when I first commissioned you for The Orchard, you were flat out with seven other projects, just balancing plates on your fingertips. Because I believe at the time you did The Orchard in your spare time, because that was a smaller project, and you're doing a children's book, is that correct? Or am I getting confused?
Yeah, I think I was doing a children's book, and I was designing, I think at that time I was designing characters for a murder mystery card game as well, possibly around that time. Yeah, probably half a dozen other things as well. It's spinning plates, that's the best way to put it, and that's the way I describe it to people as well. And then you look around, you see one wobbling, and you go back and you give the pole another way to spin.
I wonder if you ever make so much art that you ever forget about or when you finish something and say a year or two passes, do you ever forget holy god, I worked on that? Or does that never happen?
That actually has happened, and I never thought that would happen. Because when you're doing something, it's your focus. Even if you're doing even if you're doing a pile of different jobs at once, at any one time, you're only doing one job. At any one day, you're only doing one job. And that is your entire focus. But yes, it does. sometimes in really busy periods, you do a couple of years down the line. I think it's happened with a painting, I think, on canvas. I saw somebody's, I think, probably Facebook memories or something, and I had completely forgotten I'd done it. As soon as I saw it, you know, as soon as I seen it, I remembered, but it just wasn't in my mind at all. And it was a nice wee surprise. I thought, that's pretty good.
I haven't had that experience yet, but imagine, like, it's going to get to the point where, like, I work on a film or I work, like, on a short, and I'll just completely forget that, like, I was there. Because I think there was a tweet by, like, Anna Kendrick. Like, she just, like, forgot she was in the Twilight movies, which is, like, insane to me. But, like, I don't know.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't get that bad, but yeah, we'll see. But yeah, it is. It's just how busy your head is at the time. That's when you know things kind of slip by the wayside. Just how full your head is. So you just have to try and keep focus on the thing that you're doing right at that moment in time. And yeah. If you can do that, you're okay.
Yeah, and I hope that, like, you have, like, a decent enough memory for the Deer Orchard, but I imagine you do, because I believe we had, like, 100 odd emails, and I was, like, sending you back and forth, like, PDFs of, like, just, like, references. For those, like, don't know, like, basically, I have, like, a background in GCSE art, and basically, like, when you're making, like, art, you kind of want, like, an idea of, like, colors and, like, the tone, the type of characters you're going for, and I knew, like, Kevin would need that, so basically, I've detailed pretty much everything from, like, you know, detailed description of, like, each painting, and alongside, like, the character's height, their clothes, skin color, like, Henrika's context, like, the color of her hair, eyes, and, like, the burns on her face as well, and, like, just like, a insane detail. And I got to the point, like, I think, like, first document you said, like, oh, this is great, this is, like, all I need, and about the fourth document, I was getting, like, more and more pedantic, like, no, I want the horse position in this exact location. And imagine, like, you're like, oh, like, forget this, fella, I'm gonna go back to work painting on a wall.
The wall doesn't talk back. No, it was when I'm usually talking to a client at the start, sometimes I get a very, very, very short design brief. Sometimes the person doesn't know what they want, but knows the feeling they want to go for. Sometimes they know exactly what they want it to look like. Sometimes, you know, they're happy to let me play about with it. Sometimes they're very specific. But I can honestly say, Des, that I've never got an 18-page PDF before I met you. Until now, the second time this year. give or take a page or two. And yes, when I initially opened it, it was slightly overwhelming, because I thought, I don't need all this detail. But the more and more I read through it, I realised that all the different things that you had lined out were all the questions I would have been asking you as the process went on. I would have asked you what colour was the waistcoat. I would have asked you how tight fitting it is. I would have asked you, has she a belt? I would have asked you every one of these things, but I didn't have to because you had it all there. So then where the differences come then is that everyone is different. Everyone's a unique human being, and you describe the same thing to 10 different people, and they'll all imagine 10 either variations on the theme, or sometimes completely different, you know, wildly different, even though all them elements are in it, can still be all different. So that's where the hundreds of emails back and forth come in, you know, but that's the way it's done. And it's the only way to get, especially you had a very specific idea, because I mean, I'm sure you've lived with this story for, you know, morning, noon and night for a long time. You've had it and you know exactly what's going on and how everyone looks. Whereas an illustrator like me, I'm coming in cold. So I have to be told these things, or have to tease them out and sort of live with it for a wee bit. And that's where all then the sketches and the roughs come in, and you go, yeah, I like that bit, but I don't like that bit. I like the tone of that, or I don't like the colours. And it's just the way it's done. Doing an illustration for a client is teamwork.
Mm.
It's not, you know, it's not me going off and going, right, don't bother me. I'll be back, you know, back in a couple of weeks. It just doesn't work that way. It's just teamwork for both sides. And as long as the communication is kept open, and that, you know, everyone's on friendly terms and all, and as long as both parties remember what they're doing it for, and the ultimate goal is to create the best piece of art for this project, in your case, your story, your podcast, And it has to do the job. And the job is, like I was saying earlier, is to get the passerby, is to grab the attention of somebody else and pique their curiosity and think, oh, this is something I want to know a bit more about. And that's its job, like a book cover or an album cover or a poster for theatre or anything. It's to draw people in. So I think we achieved that. And I think we'll do that again for this new one.
And I even say, like, even like the sketches, the first ones, I was like taken aback because like, I remember like the landscape, and like I kind of like looked at like Henrik's face, and I just like saw like just like the crazy eyes and like the scars and all that stuff. And it's like, oh, that's so cool. And I was like showing it off to my friends and my boss at work and stuff like that. It was class. It's a great feeling to see like something like that, like represented. Like, you know, it's when it's something like writing, like it'll live in your head, and then like it'll live in a Word document that never sees the light of day. But when you're actually like, you know, when you're actually a commissioned artist and you tell people about it and you show people about it, but suddenly just becomes real, you know what I mean? And that was
you're right. And it's funny you should mention telling people about it, because that's something I live by. If there's something I've been wanting to do and it's been in my head, and I either haven't made the time or I haven't had the courage to take that leap or something, what I do is I tell people about it, and then I feel a bit of pressure then to follow through, you know. And it's a wee bit of, it's a way to sort of gear myself on to finish a job or to actually start a job. And sometimes it's just to tell people I'm doing it, and then I have to do it, you know.
Oh yeah, no,
it's
yeah.
A good take.
No, I have the same mind. So I think I said to someone that, like, you know, whenever you have like a project, what you have to do is like tell as many people as you possibly can that are interested about the project, and then the next time you run into them on the street, they'll ask about the project, and if you haven't made any effort whatsoever, you'll feel like a right idiot. And just, yeah, like, you know, That's what motivates you. Just like run into a fellow on the street, just like, oh, how's like the orchard going? And he's like, oh, I haven't edited it in 6 months.
Yeah, that's like, because you've created an audience for yourself, and they're going to want to hear more.
That said, I'll just think of another question here. This one was like a bit interesting, because I believe you were talking to me about it, because like a lot of stuff was just like marketing based and it was like online, and you kind of like recommended we do like a digital approach instead of like using the actual like real life canvas with real paints, and then you have to scan it and all that stuff. And you said it was, I believe, better due to digital. So how was like that? And I believe it was your first time doing like a project like this digitally. How was your experience with this?
It wasn't my first digital illustration, but it was my first semi-realistic. Because I do a lot of more exaggerated, cartoony type illustrations digitally, and whereas with painting on canvas, I can do really realistic. But I was only learning how to do really realistic digitally, and then when you asked me to do this, it's kind of like telling your friend you're doing something and you have to do it. It was the same situation, whereas I said, deliberately said yes to the job so I'd have to do it, do you know, that way. So, and going, right, I have to learn, I have to figure out these techniques, I have to figure out how I can make this look like one of my real paintings. But the reason I wanted to do it, I think I told you at the time, the reason I wanted to do it digitally is because you have far more freedom with it after, you know, because things are in layers, for example, so you can move things about, you know. If I did a sort of sketch traditionally, for all the stages that we went through last year, I'd had a stack of paintings, whereas digitally you do them, and then I think at one stage I think you asked me to change the background color, maybe. That was no problem, just paint over what I have without affecting any of the characters or any of the other elements in the picture. So you have a lot more freedom, and that's why I wanted to do it digitally. And also it was a good learning curve for me, because like I say, I could paint realistic in real life, but I wanted to figure out how to do that with a little this wee boy drawing down and a pen. So I think it was good for me that way, because it brought my artwork, it brought my digital artwork closer to my real traditional work then, you know. It was a good wee bridge between the two, but it's the freedom that it allows you after. That is where it really shines, because you can just do it. You can move things about, make things bigger or smaller. You add mist. We added mist. Just wee things like that, you know. Mm. It's nice to be able to play about with it.
Yeah, I suppose, like, remember, like, one email I was kind of saying, like, hey, I like this, but, like, I said, like, the horse kind of looks, like, blue for some reason. Like, what's up with that? And he said, no, the horse is white. And I looked at my phone, which I viewed the artwork on. It's like, oh, my light levels haven't been adjusted. So I was just like, oh, I feel like such an idiot.
That's another thing about digital as well. It looks completely different on the phone than it does on the computer. Mm. When I'm drawing it up on the tablet and then the computer, completely different on the phone. The phones are far more, the contrast is way up in the phone, the brightness is way up. So yeah, there's no universal way. It'll look different. No matter how you do it, it'll look different on every device. And all you can do is try to find a balance, try and get somewhere in between that it looks pretty good on everything. I haven't quite figured my way around that yet.
Yeah. Well, no, it looks great. And I think it was a great help when I was actually pitching to podcast networks. Unfortunately, none of them took me up on it, but I felt I got more responses by having the artwork because it made it look like a legit thing. It wasn't an actual.
Yeah.
It wasn't something I recorded in my bedroom with a microphone, which I do occasionally. There's nothing wrong with that. But I had a recording studio. I had actors and everyone got paid and everyone. I shouldn't say treated nicely, that's something to be proud of, but everyone got on well enough, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, taking a professional attitude towards your work is something to be proud of, and that's what you've done, right from the start, so that, you can be proud of that. A lot of people just sort of throw things together, and it's not the same quality. It's just not.
Earlier last year, I asked you for some advice, you give people looking to commission artwork for a TikTok I made. I think a lot of your advice was just actually going in with an actual proper concrete idea of what you want and being able to communicate that. Is there anything else you want commissioners to know about before contacting an artist?
Well, yeah, it definitely helps to have a concrete idea. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to know every detail. You don't have to. That's the artist will sort of work with the client to try and to build up them details as it goes on, as it goes from a sketch stage to more detailed and then the final painting. So you don't necessarily have to know it. It's great if you do, as you did, but you don't have to. It's good if you know the essence of what you're looking for, a starting point. You need a starting point. If you come to an artist and you just go, I don't really know what I want, but it's a story about a witch and an orchard. You're adding months of headaches to both you and the artist, just because the artist still hasn't got a starting point. All he knows is that you want something. But also communication both ways, backwards and forwards. So being fit to tell the artist what you want, and then also be fit to listen to the artist's advice as well. Sometimes people would tell me, oh, I'd love such and such a thing, and I immediately know that won't look good or it won't work in the context of whatever, or it'll ruin the flow. If I want something there, I know that's going to ruin the flow of the picture and it's not going to work. So I have to diplomatically convey that. And it's up to the client whether they listen or not. But my advice is do listen to the artist, because they're the professional in the visual end of things. So then they have done this for years and they know what works and what doesn't. So if an artist does say to you, that's just not going to work, or it's not going to look good, or it's going to take away from the piece, please listen to that. That would be sort of my advice on the communication thing. And also then it's up to the artist to also listen to the client, because they're still the creator of the project. They know what they want. The artist then will only step in if there's something that's just categorically not going to work, So it's just communication back and forth. And to keep that communication open and it doesn't matter how many drafts you go through, just bear in mind the ultimate goal is to create the best piece you can, because then both parties win.
Yeah. Kevin, you were highly recommended to me. I believe you've been doing freelance artwork for many, many years now. And I was kind of wondering, do you have any advice for artists who would like to go, to do this professionally, or would like to move to freelance? What would you say to them?
Do it. I started it not having a clue whether you could actually make a living from it. I'm not trained in any sort of professional way. I've spent a lifetime picking up tips from other artists and just constantly practicing my trade and getting better and better and keep pushing to, like when the start of the digital, keep pushing for, you know, different techniques and learn more things and just learn about colour, the whole basics of the basics and the, you know, the complications of colour is probably the hardest thing because it's a lifetime of learning. But keep doing it, keep painting, keep drawing, or keep whatever it is you do, keep doing it and try to, you'll eventually find your own style, and that's the best time really to put your work out there. And just keep putting stuff out there. As corny as it sounds, or as simple as it sounds, social media does work for an artist because it's very visual. Every time I put a painting up, or like every time I put a mural up, every time I finish a mural, stick it up on Instagram or Facebook, or whatever, I get three or four people asking me to paint a mural. I put an illustration up, I get three or four people asking, and it's free, and it's great for artists because it's so visual. You just put your work up there, and people know instantly whether they like it or not. And some of them people who like it will need something somewhere down the line, and then they get in touch. So just my advice, if anyone's thinking of doing this, please do it, because I get up with a smile on my face every morning. I'm doing what I love. I was afraid at the start that, oh God, if I do this professionally, am I going to stop loving painting because I have to do it? That has never happened. 10 years on, and that has never happened. 11 years probably. Never happened. I love having a paintbrush in my hand. I love digital painting. I love painting. And I get to do it, and it brings an income into the house. And so if you're thinking about doing it, just do it. Just try it, and don't let anyone put you off, because what do they know? Yeah. I can tell you it works.
Yeah, and you only live once, fellas. And so I'd say that to everyone as well. Like, it's never too late. If you have like a comfortable enough living situation, you can find yourself taking risks. I read online, it was like recommended that like you have like a year's like worth of rent just for like safety. But like that's, you can like find all this like kind of information online. And I don't think we have time, unfortunately, to go into the details, the brass tacks. And we're artists in like different strokes. And I don't want to talk about money because I don't know much about it. Oh, yeah. No, Mavs is just like not my strong suit. It's my Achilles heel, unfortunately. But Kevin, again, thanks so much for your time. This shoot on, unfortunately, we're both very, very, very busy. Do you have anything going on at the moment?
Anything going on? I'm working on your next question at the minute. I'm working on three jobs at the minute. Your next one, I'm working on 50 sci-fi type illustrations for Monaghan Science Festival, which I do every year, and I love one of the highlights of the year, doing the illustrations for their website. And I'm trying to get this mural in Enniskillen done between showers. So that's my three jobs for October.
Yeah, hopefully weather holds up for you. Kevin, again, thanks so much for showing up.
Yeah, lovely to finally talk to you in person, Des. Thanks a million.
No worries. Take care now, Kevin. All the best.
All right, thank you. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
That was my interview with Kevin. This was our first time actually speaking to each other in person. We had a lovely time, and I'm happy to share our conversation with you. I hope you all took something away from this interview. In the next episode, I talk about the post-production phase, so keep an eye out for that. In the meantime, thank you all for listening, and goodbye.